Welcome to Small Time Leaders, a 10-minute podcast about how giving credit to others can help you experience more success and meaning in your leadership and life. My name is Michael Allen Tate, but my friends call me Mike. I work with accomplished business people who want to design a personal strategy to make their next big move their best move. In each of my podcasts, you will hear a successful leader talk about a couple of people in their lives who did or said a small thing that was so on point and profound that it still impacts how they live and work today, which I've come to call small-time leader moments.
I am so pleased to introduce you to a longtime friend of mine, Jay Gill. Jay is a successful business executive, and he's probably the most politically connected person I've ever met. When you go to lunch with Jay anywhere east of the Mississippi, just add an hour for him to be stopped by 10 to 15 of his best friends who just happened to be in that same restaurant that day. As a bit of background on Jay, Jay began his career at Synovus Bank. After 10 years of growth there, while he was only in his mid-30s, Jay made a risky move. He left Synovus for the opportunity to become the president of River City Bank, a private startup enterprise that he and his team founded in 2007 in Carrollton, Georgia. After several years of leading the bank to be profitable and set up for future success, Jay left River City to reach to a more public-facing position. Today, he is vice president of economic development and community communications for a leading utility company headquartered in Carrollton. Jay is a great guy. He's a family man, an okay golfer. He loves smoking barbecue, making more friends, and serving his community. Hello, Jay. It is so good to see you, man. We've been talking about our collective heart surgeries a while back, but it's good to see you this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you, Michael. Good to see you, too.
We're excited to have you here to tell your story. And, you know, I always start my podcast with what you're most grateful for at this time in your life. You want to share with us where you are with that?
Yeah, I think it goes without saying right now, and it's probably true for a lot of people, is just thankful for personal health. You know, you and I have both been through extreme heart procedures in the last couple of years, and being here in the midst of a pandemic. I didn't mention this earlier when we were talking, but my mother ended up in the emergency room last week with COVID. She's 75 and has asthma, but she's home and doing well. She ended up doing the antibody infusion.
Yeah.
Blood infusion. So she's doing well. Can't be any more thankful than for personal health right now for most everybody.
Isn't that the truth? It sure is. So I'm glad your mom's fine and things are going well there. So tell us about a small time leader in your life. I know typically I don't have people talk about their parents, but I think your dad's a special guy. So you're going to tell us a little bit about him and his mentors and take it away there, Jay. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So my father worked for the Synovus companies for 52 years. And Synovus is a super regional bank. I know they have banks over in Birmingham in your area and all over the Southeast. Going back to the early 80s, in fact, he started in the late 60s. He was an athlete and a baseball player and was playing at a higher level for a short while before he injured his arm. And he had a part-time summer job rolling pennies at the vault at Columbus Bank and Trust Company. So he'd hurt his arm. He wasn't going to go play ball. Wasn't sure what he was going to do. So we went back and asked him for his old job back rolling pennies in the vault. And he ended up working his way into a cashier position and some front lines, learning how to lend, went to branch management and human resources, and kind of worked his way up the ladder and got promoted to a CEO position of an affiliate bank in 1984. And our family moved to Carrollton from Columbus, Georgia. So the second half of his career, he was a president and CEO of a community bank, took it from about 22 million in assets to about 560 plus million in assets. And was just a very successful regional banker.
Now, what was your dad's name? You told me your dad. I didn't ask his name.
Well, he's Jim Gill. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm a junior. I'm a JR.
Yeah.
So he's James A. Gill, senior, and I'm a junior.
Well, it sounds like a really accomplished guy for sure. So tell us what you learned.
What I kind of figured out is, you know, he's one of those that kind of led by example. He didn't have a lot of ancient wisdom, and he wasn't Ivy League educated and fourth generation this. He was just kind of, you know, son of a dirt farmer who had a lot of common sense and had great people skills. And what I learned as I got older, and my sister too, was that he had two major influences on him. And what I figured out was their wisdom and their legacies kind of passed down through my father onto me. Now, my father didn't have many heroes in his life, but he had these two individuals that he looked up to a great deal. One of them was Bobby Bowden, who just passed away recently. He's a legendary coach from Birmingham. My father played for him in the late 50s at South Georgia College, which was Bobby's first full-time coaching gig. He and Ann moved down there and started their family in Douglas, Georgia. And we still went to reunions up to a couple of years ago, going down and seeing Bobby and Ann, and sometimes one of the boys would come. But, you know, Bobby touched so many lives and did it through his spirituality and through his faith. But he had just a lot of common sense and just had a gift for relating to people and building those relationships. And there's no doubt my father watched and observed him even long after he played for him and used that in the business world and created his leadership style was built around Bobby's and basically was passed down to myself and my sister as well.
Yeah, I know you told me something, you know, I asked you, what did he say that you remember your dad saying about Bobby and your time with Bobby Bowden? I think you told me there was one thing he said about when, if you ever get confused in life, something about that.
Well, and it's something I don't think I've mentioned to you before. There was two things that stood out. Bobby always said it's easier to inherit a team that's 0-11 than 11-0. Second thing he said a lot was, if you're ever struggling with, you know, whether it's leadership or family or illness or just world events, whatever's going on in your life, even if you're not a spiritual person, if you will look to the book of Proverbs in the Bible, it'll answer 90-100% of what's going on in your life, because it's just built on ancient wisdom. It doesn't matter what your faith is. And he said, you know, when all things fail, turn to the book of Proverbs and you will figure something out.
Wow. And then you mentioned there was one other guy that influenced your father.
This one was a little bit longer period of time. Once Dad was, you know, back in banking and working his way up through the system, he's part of that original group in Columbus, Georgia, that there's a group of families that had Columbus Bank and Trust Company, but they also, you know, they were the guys that built Aflac, and they were heavily involved with Charbroil and Hardaway Companies and RC Cola and Coca-Cola and Total Systems, which is, they call TSYS, which is a large credit card data processing group out of Columbus that was global, very successful. But the gentleman's name was Jimmy Blanchard. And Jimmy was a great friend and motivator and inspired my father a great deal. He loved Jimmy's leadership style and the way that he just relied on people and trusted and loved the people that worked with him, for him, around him. He was also a man of great faith, and he was an attorney by trade. His father was involved in the original banking, Columbus Bank and Trust Company, and they taught Jimmy in, you know, not practicing law, but coming into the banking side, and because he just had so much vision and natural wisdom. And it's funny because all the time and energy we put into reading books by John Maxwell and Jim Collins and Pat Lencioni or Mike Tate to try to incorporate business wisdom and influence in our careers and things that we do in leadership and our church and wherever, the fundamentals were always there with Blanchard and the way that he ran the company. And what was funny was when we moved to Carrollton in 1984, my sister and I were young teenagers, and he would mail out cassette tape to the affiliate presidents and CEOs of the Tuesday morning meeting every week. They would make copies and mail them out. And yeah, he went over the core business practices of what was going on at the bank and things that they need to concentrate on. But he always had these motivational lessons tied into it. I mean, he was almost pastoral in nature. He was, his delivery was eloquent. He's that traditional Southern gentleman. But he has so many common sense lessons built into those meetings. And my father would make my sister and I listen to these meetings at 11 years old. From the time we were 11 years old, we're listening to business meetings, but we're actually being ingrained and having a general understanding of these lessons that Jimmy was conveying.
Do you remember one of those stories or lessons that he told that stuck with you?
Yeah, there was one that stood out where there was an older gentleman, an African-American gentleman back in the probably late 70s, early 80s, that came in and did a transaction at the bank. He was wearing his coveralls and it was just kind of dirty, driving an old beat up pickup truck. He did a transaction. He was asking for validation for his parking before he left. And the teller just gave him a hard time and said, we just can't take care of your parking and da, da, da. And so he got very discouraged and left, and he called his neighbor who happened to be on the board of directors and said, hey, I'm going to move my $8 million to another bank. You guys just don't have any empathy and care about your customers and doing business. And so, you know, Jimmy's lesson was, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. You need to treat all people with respect and treat all people well. And if we treat our customers well, if we treat our employees well, the business will take care of itself.
Yeah. Well, Jay, man, thanks for sharing about Bobby Bowden and his dependence on Proverbs and advice around there, and about Jimmy Blanchard and teaching us to love our neighbor as ourselves and treat people fairly. And that's how you run your business. So great. Well, thanks for the stories, Jay. And I'll see you next Thursday on the next episode. So you'll tell us another story then.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to leave you with a thought. I believe that we live in a small world that often feels out of control. But I also believe there is a big God who is in control and who speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if we just listen, we may be granted the occasion to make a positive difference in someone's life. So I challenge you to be a small-time leader today and help someone see themselves in a brand new way. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. For more information about my firm, blog, products, today's special guest, please go to michaelallentate.com or smalltimeleaders.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Small Time Leader podcast so you never miss an episode. And join our Facebook group for more exclusive content. I'll see you on the next episode of Small Time Leaders.